Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. We are in the letter to the Ephesians, and some people call them letters, some call them books, because there's so much in them. Anyhow, we're on 2:4. We are preaching verse by verse, if you're new, all the way through. So if you're here long enough, we'll go all the way through Ephesians. You will know the letter to the Ephesians really well. How many were able to read this week Ephesians 1 and 2, 1 through 10? Okay, we got quite a few, but not enough. Okay, so I really don't know what to do. Maybe I could come down there and choke you a little bit, or, yeah. Listen, you need these verses in your life. Ephesians chapter 1 in the first 10 verses of chapter 2 really tell you who you are in Christ. And I'm going to be addressing a little bit of that tonight because I want to talk about humility and pride. And this is kind of parentheses in our Ephesians study. I want to talk about how God sees it. So let's first start by reading our verse, okay? And I want you, could you change it to the next slide? Okay, thank you. Now, we're going to do exactly what we did last week, and that is you're going to read the yellow and I'm going to read the white, but you're not going to go, it's great love. You're going to yell it out, right? Okay, so here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his
great
with which,
he loved,
even when we were dead in trespasses, by grace you have been saved. Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that a great verse? I love that. Because he loves us and because of his rich mercy, he has promised us several things. And you remember out of Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to find more in this chapter 2. He's given us great things. He's created us in his image, and we are his image bearer. And he has gifted us. If you've read Ephesians 1 and 2, 1 through 2, and you get to that very last verse, you find out that he has gifted us to do his work. He's encouraged us to understand who we are, Christian, who we are. And even how we can serve him, really beyond our own imagination. And like I've said many times, I would have never have dreamed as a kid or even in my hippie years, I would have never dreamed I'd be up here preaching the word of God to you. But that's the way God is, isn't it? Amen? All right, so I feel pretty strongly this evening to talk about an issue with reading in Ephesians 1 and 2 that retards the process. Now, I'm not calling you retards. I said retard, right? Okay. It retards the process and blocks our ability of ownership of what God promises us in all he has made us to be. So let me introduce the this with a question, okay? If we are all that God says we are, then how do we stay humble and not be prideful in whom he has created us to be? Or why do we minimize it? Why do we minimize what God says we are? I was thinking about the country singer Mac Davis, who boldly used to sing this song, "It is hard to be humble since I'm perfect in every way." Right? Or on one occasion, Winston Churchill described a particular person this way: "He's a humble man and for good reason." Okay, apparently the guy had a lot of limitations. Okay, now with the question, do you understand the question that I'm asking? Okay, and that question is, if we're all that God says we are, then how do we stay humble and not be prideful in all that he has created us to be? And why are we minimizing who we are? All right, let me give you an example. I'm going to give you an example of me. Quiet down there. God has created and built me to be a pastor leader. And as I talk about this, I want you to think at how God built you, okay? So you can kind of fall parallel while I'm talking. So how do I grapple with my powerful gift of leadership that God graced me with in all of his strength. Should I deny that? Okay, and while I'm saying this, I want to point out that there are always flaws and weaknesses. If I build myself up in your mind, you're trying to build myself back down. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way we are as human beings. And so it's inevitable that we have flaws and weaknesses because all gifts have strengths and weaknesses, right? Do you know that? It's like, every gift is a spiritual gift is a two-edged sword. Okay, one has a real strong, it also has a weakness. But I want to concentrate for a minute while I say these things on the positive side, on the strength side, if you will. How do I grapple with my ability to pastor and mentor people, even to the point of bringing them into the ministry? My strong ability to counsel almost anyone that I meet. My ability to stand up here and communicate God's word to you tonight in the power of God, hopefully. And when I say that, there are many observers who may critique me when I say that, and they may say, well, you know what, Steve? You need to be self-deprecating. Which means to be passively humble to the point of not being able to speak, okay? Right? Isn't that true? I need to be over modest and not boasting at all, but be modest and lowly, assuming and meek, so that you can barely hear my voice. Did you get that? And I should deny all gifts and abilities so that I can demonstrate humility. The problem is, that's not humility. That's false humility, and better, a lie. Denying God's truth in me. Now, are you following me so far? Are you kind of getting the picture of what I'm saying? Okay. Listen, when God gives us all these promises that we've been reading about, then he loads us up with some spiritual gifts, specifically builds and directs us to perform those spiritual gifts, Ephesians 2:10. And we use them towards others, and he tells us to use them, and these God-given gifts and talents and abilities, he tells us that he has not given us the spirit or the attitude of fear, but of what? Power and love in the sound mind. He's not given us that attitude of fear. He wants us to stand up and use our spiritual gifts to do the work of the ministry. And so it actually leaves seemingly little room, for our misguided idea of meek and mild. And maybe, just maybe, it's because humility is a misunderstood virtue, especially in our Christian community. All right. So let's define our terms here for a minute. It's always good to clear the decks and define the terms. And so I want to talk about pride because pride is the high end, humility is the low end, right? Okay, so let me start with pride. Let's talk about the positiveness of pride. The happy, satisfied, this is out of Encarta Dictionary, that the happy, satisfied feeling somebody experiences when they when having or achieving something special that other people admire. It might be pride in their work, in what they made. And yet, when somebody outright, straightforward compliments you, what happens? We flinch, right? I mean, I can remember when I was early in the ministry and people would say, wow, that was really a good sermon. I go into this trauma in my head. I just smile by going into this trauma. Okay, it's God, it's me, it's God. I couldn't quite figure out where to put it. Finally, I just said, thank you. And, you know, praise be to God. And so we flinch because we're assuming somehow if we admit that what we do is okay, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with that attitude. So we look at the negative side of pride and humility, and let me give you that. The negative side of pride is an inflated view of ourselves. It's a false advertising campaign promoting ourselves because maybe we suspect that others won't accept us as we are. And so we have to give them the sales job. This pride, then, is actually a lie about our own identity and achievements. To be proud is to live in a world propped up with falsehoods about ourselves, maybe even taking credit where credit isn't due. I remember this really came home to me years ago. I was in a company. It was when Microsoft was kind of getting on their feet. And I don't know if any of you remember, but originally when they put out Outlook in Microsoft, I think it was, I can't remember what year it was, but anyhow, they had a, where you could answer and your whole contact list. They took it off pretty fast because it was a disaster, okay? And so in this company, when that was happening in the early years, one person who wrote an email to another person in our company was talking about how he had done something really good. So the guy back in his email told him, look, why don't you build me up and really, really let people know what I've done so everybody will kind of pat me on the back. Well, he clicked everybody in his contact list back rather than just that guy. All right. Okay, now think about the misery of that, okay? He was set up with pride and false humility. Everybody read his email and thought, oh, what a jerk. Who's this guy? And it was only a couple months later he left the company. He couldn't take it. And it wasn't very long before Microsoft had a patch to get rid of that because too many people were doing those kind of things. But you know, sometimes inwardly or outwardly, we promote ourselves above who we really are. And the reverse is denying what God has created us to be. We say, no, we aren't. I'm not that way. And creating a sense of humility, which is not humility, it's false humility. And rightful humility can be that we take pride in what God has created us to be and what God has built us to do. Because He gave us the ability. Are you listening to me now? He gave us the ability. I didn't get the ability to come up here and talk to you. I am telling you, when I first started that, I was so scared I could hardly speak. When I come, and I've even told you a story how when I went to Bible school where I met Debbie, I sang in an octet, eight guys, and we went to churches, and I could hardly get it out because I was so scared of being in front of all these people. I remember I went to a church that had 1,600 people for a Wednesday night service, and we're all looking at them, and then we're on TV in Pennsylvania, a local TV station, and we're looking at, I could barely squeak it out, and I think the other guys were a little, and I thought, how in the world am I ever going to become a pastor? Well, it's because it wasn't up to me. It's His gift to me. It's not mine. And so He gave me the ability to do these things. I didn't acquire those abilities. And listen to how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 10:17. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. All right. So we don't have to give ourselves the glory, right? God's going to do that in the end. So now the question is, what is humiliation or humility then? The quality of being modest or respectful by acknowledging who is the author of our strengths. So real humility involves a realistic assessment of ourselves, of both our weaknesses and our strengths. Now let me put it this way. This will help you see the picture, I think. Let's say we're watching TV and John Elway. Now, we all know, pretty much everybody knows who John Elway is, right? Okay. So John Elway gets up and he goes, "I was really never a good quarterback." What do you think about that? Is it humility or false humility? Yeah, right. I would think that he would be out of touch with reality to even say that. Or Chuck Swindoll. Now, many of you have heard Chuck Swindoll on the radio. He's been on the radio for about 40 years. And maybe he would remark to the crowd, "I've never really been a great preacher." You know, John, you were one of the best quarterbacks of all time. What in the world are you saying? You never were a good quarterback? Or Chuck, you're one of the world's greatest preachers. That's why you've been on the radio for 40 years. You know, we kind of know that these statements are usually a backdoor attempt to be stroked or complimented for our talents, which ultimately never feels good because we had to administrate it, right? So it never kind of hits home anyhow. I don't know why we do those kind of things. But true humility, my friends, does not deny abilities or deny position, nor does it overstate those abilities either, but rather acknowledges God as the source of all the gifts that he gives us for which we can take absolutely no credit. That's really humility. What do we have that we didn't receive? Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 4:7. "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it?" What Paul's saying is, look at you are minimizing and dogging yourself. Why are you doing that? Because God gave you these gifts. So I think we can safely say to be truly humble is to know our proper place before God with all of our strengths and our weaknesses. Listen to Romans 12:3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or wisely, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Rather, people think accurately, Paul's saying. Now let me come towards the close of this with I want to look at Jesus, because Jesus would be our best example, right, of humility. Jesus calls himself humble in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, if you want to turn there. Jesus called himself humble, yet we see him overthrowing the money changers' tables with a whip. And you think, that's humble? Did Jesus forget for a moment to be humble? Or he yells and he calls them a den of thieves, and then a little bit later, we hear him talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "You whitewashed graves." Whoa, how humble, right? And so in Matthew 11, 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," that's the word humble, "and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Well, I love that, but it doesn't fit the rest. So Jesus is humble, and so why can he say those things? Why can he call somebody a whitewashed tomb or a den of thieves? Well, let's take the den of thieves. These were money changers, and they were cheating. They were in his father's house ripping people off, and they've been doing it for hundreds of years. From the time they built that temple, they were ripping off the people. As the people came with the will and the desire to come with their sacrifices and that kind of thing, they had set up a plan where they couldn't use the regular Jewish money. They had to use a special money for the temple. And so they had to exchange that. When they did, they got ripped off over and over and over. So Jesus was being honest. You are a den of thieves. Wouldn't you say the same thing to someone who would do that? And how could he call them whitewashed tombs? What in the heck? Because every Passover, the workmen would go out to all the tombs and they would use a white type of paint and they'd wash it. I've got one up here and you can't see it very well, but there's a bunch of drips of white because they still do it today. And they paint the tomb so they look good on the outside, but what's on the inside? Decay, right? And so he looks at the Pharisees, and they have these beautiful clothes on and these beautiful prayer shawls, and they're walking around telling everybody what they should do, and they're not doing it, and they're hypocrites. And Jesus tells them, you are like those white tombs, my friends. You're beautiful on the outside, but you're decaying on the inside. You have evil and manipulation, and you have a hunger for money, and you have everything but what you're supposed to have, and that's a love for God. Jesus simply told him the truth. Now, he told him the exact truth. He didn't exaggerate it, nor did he underdo it. He told him the truth. He was humble. So why am I telling you all this about pride and humility? You might ask. It's because many of you are reading Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, 1 through 10. And the many of all of you who are the many, and all you who have sat through the teaching so far, have found out a lot of things about ourselves, right? We are holy. We are blameless. We're not blamed for our sin anymore. We're adopted. We're accepted in Him, just the way we are tonight. We are forgiven. We are bought. We are redeemed. We've been given an inheritance. We're to the praise of His glory. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the down payment, the guarantee of our inheritance until He redeems our bodies. Then He says that we are His inheritance and He's ours. And then He says that we have the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And then we get into chapter 2 and He says He's made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, that's where we've gotten so far. And then last week we found out His great, rich love that He has for us. And so we have a tendency to minimize that. Right? We go, well, you know, yeah, I'm His child. I feel more like an orphan child. But I'm His child. I don't know if He's really bought me or not. I don't know. My sin is so bad. I'm not quite sure what to say. God can't love a sinner like me. I'm telling you as a pastor, I hear this all the time. I think He's forgiven everybody else, but I've done too many things for Him to forgive me. Have you ever heard that? Oh my gosh. It's a lie. It's a lie. He forgave everybody. He forgave you and He forgave me. And He gave us all these things, and we get to the rest of the way through Ephesians. We find out that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to good works that God before prepared that you and I should walk in them. That's unbelievable. And so we go around with false humility. Well, I don't know. I don't think I have any gifts. I don't know. I think God missed me. I was in line and I think I went to the bathroom and came back and missed my gift. And then there are others who feel like they have the gift of Billy Graham as soon as they trust Christ. They think, man, I could go out and do a better job than him. I could stand up in all this crowd. And are they measuring themselves right? No. They're way overstated. They have no idea what all that means. So let me close with this verse from Galatians 6:3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. My friends, pride and humility involves a realistic assessment of ourselves, of both our weaknesses and our strengths, and then we can stand in God because God has created us who we are to be. And that, believe it or not, is humility. So here's the thing. Let's not discount God's blessings on us. He said he gave us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we look at that and let's not discount that. He's given it all to us. But by his rich mercy and great love with which he loved us, which created by grace you are saved. You were bought with a price. You've been given everything that God thinks you need, and he's given you gifts. And so the question is, you need to be humble, right? Like Christ. Not like somebody who has false humility. You need to be humble and understand where your gift came from, what God's doing in your life, and then do it. You following me? He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray.